Now for a testimony. An individual with a rather unusual ministry, one whom God has blessed and is using in a magnificent way. I could give an elaborate introduction, but a new disc is available, My Life Story. And it is available at the Baptist Bookstore, and if you'd like to purchase it and get all of the introduction that I might give tonight, then you feel free to do so. I simply introduce the chaplain of Bourbon Street. I spent a few years apprenticeship down in that French Quarter of New Orleans myself, and I know that anyone who can witness for Jesus there can witness any place on the face of the earth, and here is a man who has effectively witnessed for our Lord in that wicked quarter of the earth, and we hear his testimony, Brother Bob Harrington.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I tell you, it's good to be in Dallas. It's good to be... Amen. We're going to have fun up here. This old boy is getting happy already. I don't know whether he's a president or a vice president, but he's saved and knows where he's going, and that's what counts. Amen. I tell you, we got enough doctors up here on the platform to have a heart transplant. Don't you think so? But I thank the Lord. Hey, don't applaud. I just got 20 minutes. Just sit there and let me preach. Let me preach. I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I was saved. I had an experience with the Lord a few years ago. Before I get into that, let me give you greetings from Dr. Gray, my fine pastor in New Orleans. He said, tell you folks hello. He loves the people in Texas, and I love you too. And I'm looking forward to witnessing more tonight as we move into some of the clubs in the city. Go down and see if Bubble really can get saved here in this city. Going down late tonight because I'll be back a little later in Beverly Hills, and I want to do some witnessing here while I'm here tonight. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. But you know... That's Mr. Wimpy with Hunt. We're praying for him. He'll come on through. You know, it's amazing, this thing of being saved. Now, if I'm a little emotional, you pray for me, I'll get worse. But, you know, I find most folks that knock emotions there is not working. You know, I find most people are down on things they're not up on. So I want to give you an experience that I had with Christ 9 years ago. I didn't know being a Christian was so much fun. You know, I thought you had to quit smoking, drinking, cussing, chewing, acting ugly, just dry up and die. I didn't know, because most of the people I saw around the church looked like rejects from society. You know, I didn't know. I never heard the word hell from the pulpit of the church where I went. I heard it out front when some of the other members asked me to go there, but that's about it. I didn't know you could have a real, vivid, living experience with the Lord. Why, I lived across the street from the Baptist church, but I was a Methodist steward, and they wouldn't visit me because that's ministerially not ethical. And, you know, you're not supposed to proselyte. Boy, I'll witness to anybody. It doesn't make if it's a Buddhist monk. I like to witness to them. In fact, I'd rather witness to a Buddhist monk who's never heard the name of Jesus than to try to get a Baptist to move the letter in Texas when it came out here from North Mississippi. Amen? I'll tell you. But this thing about being saved, let me get back to my testimony. On that night, April the 15th, 1958, I was lost, went into a Baptist church looking for insurance prospects. And I'll tell you, that night at 8:45 in that little Baptist church on the 7th pew doing the 5th verse, just as I am, I lost my religion from my head and it became Christianity in my heart. And thank God I'll endure it, I enjoy it. It's not getting worse, it's getting better. That's the reason I hang around believers, not doubters. I don't like to be around these folks who don't believe in the thing. That's the reason I keep a new convert with me all the time. You tell them Jesus is coming back, they say, when? When? They raise up their head. You tell some of these others, and they want to know if it's pre-post. Oh, I don't know about all that. I just know he's coming back, and it might be tonight. Amen? That's the thing that makes it so wonderful. But anyway, that night on April the 15th, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't know 3 days later I was going to preach. Oh, can you imagine preaching 3 days after you converted? Now, I had religion, but didn't know enough, you know. First night I preached, the word Job I called Job, Deuteronomy couldn't even pronounce, Psalm I called Palms, and the first sermon I ever preached was out of the Book of Concordance in the Bible. But I'll tell you, it worked. It worked, bless God. I might ought to get back into the Concordance. But anyway... 3 days after my conversion, I went to preaching. Now, I didn't know all about this Northern, Southern, Eastern, Western Baptist. I just thought you saved the lost. I didn't know about all these brands and tags and still don't know too much about any of them because the message is him. Stick to Jesus. You know, so many people want to argue about it. I have folks the other day came by, want to know what day I thought was a Sabbath. Well, I didn't know there was more than one. You know, and they said they thought Saturday was. I said, well, put me down. That's all right. Ever since I've been saved, I can't tell Saturday from Sunday. They are the Lord's Day. The other morning, I was a little late going to Sunday school, and two people came to the door and said, we Jehovah Witnesses. I said, come on in, I am too. They say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I've been witnessing for Jehovah ever since I've been saved. They said, well, we must be different kind. I said, well, I'm the saved kind. What kind are you? Did you know that religion can be fun? Whatever you have is contagious. If you pout a lot, you got pouting friends. You doubt a lot, you got doubting friends. You stink a lot, you got a bunch of pigs for friends. It's easy to tell what you like by the company you keep. Now, I must admit, I don't have as much company as I used to have, but the company I have, they sure are nice. They sure are wonderful. Now, my neighbors either get saved or move, but, you know, it's amazing how contagious it will be. But, you know, that night, April the 5th, I didn't know being saved what it meant. I had religion, you know. I was always raised up in a church. My mom and daddy raised me up in a good home. Never heard my mom and daddy pray together. Never saw them read the Bible together. We just assume everybody's Christians. If you live in a little Christian town, you live close to a church, you're born in America, you assume everybody's a Christian. I didn't know it was a personal, vivid. My daddy, I never saw him smoke, drink, or cuss. I don't think he and my mother ever had a feud or fuss. If they did, they were scriptural about it. They must have gone in the closet. I don't remember any of these things. The only real bad habit I remember as a little country boy from Sweetwater, Alabama, was my daddy used to chew bloodhound chewing tobacco, and that will make an impression on a kid, especially if you're riding on that back seat and the wind's blowing from the north. It'll do something to you. In fact, I was about 12 years old before I found out those brown spots weren't freckles on my face. But it's amazing how you can remember so many little things. But on that night, April the 15th, when I gave my heart to the Lord, and 3 days later I started preaching, well, my wife got upset about such silly little things like food, clothing, and shelter, and she started wondering, how in the world are you going to preach? So to help comfort me, she went home to her mother and brought her back to help spiritually advise me. Now, when you're 3 days old, I believe anybody gets real saved. I'm talking about born again, transformed, adopted, predestined, elected, atoned for. I'm talking about have a real personal. I believe every time you have that, the devil puts a demon on your trail right then to discourage you and make you doubt what you did. And he doesn't ever leave you. Oh, I tell you. How many of you does the devil ever bother? Would you raise your hand if the devil ever bother you? Well, that's good. You got the rest of you lying. But it's awful how he works on it. Every once in a while, you meet some of these old Baptists. You know, these old Baptists, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't chew, they don't run around, they don't act ugly, they don't watch a picture show, they don't go to television, they don't do nothing. And they think the devil doesn't ever bother them, but he doesn't need to. You woe out. You woe out. Listen, Christianity is not what you quit doing, it's what on earth have you started doing, for heaven's sake. I met a little man up in North Mississippi, and he said he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't cuss, he doesn't chew. I don't know what he wanted me to do. I said, well, look, he just kept saying, said, I don't do nothing. I said, you're why I came. You know why I came to preach. I said, I'd rather some of you smoke. At least I can smell you coming up on me. It's these do nothing. Should America fall, and God forbid, it won't be the communist outside. It's the complacent group inside. It's a do nothing group. Do something, even if it's wrong, for the glory of God. Do it if you feel God will bless it. I witnessed about everybody I see. People say, you know, don't you run somebody off? Well, you're going to run them to hell number two, hell number three. Huh? We so worried about running people off, we don't even get people in. See? We court them 3 or 4 months and try to slip up on their blind side. Let me tell you, a sinner has more respect for a man of God when you come boldly to the situation. Come right on up and ask them if they're saved, if they know the Lord. Don't ask them if they're church affiliated. Everybody is, including the devil. Don't ask them if they made a profession of faith. They don't even know how to spell faith. Don't ask them if they've enlisted into the program of the church. Ask them if they're saved, if they've been born again, if they've had a vivid head-on encounter with Jesus Christ. People say, well, that's a little emotional. Well, this afternoon I got to reading my Bible and I found some fellas, everybody that made front page in the book was emotional. Oh, Moses was emotional when he stood by the bank and that water parted. I know Moses wasn't a Baptist because he'd been still tied up in church council trying to figure out how to get forward that trip. I know he wasn't a Baptist, but old Moses, he bound to have been a doctor, Moses, with that many followers. But anyway, he went right on. Don't you know he was emotional looking over that branch of water on each side? Don't you know he was emotional? Everybody else I checked in the book, David, don't you know he got emotional when that rock hit where he thought it ought to hit? I imagine if anybody shouted, that's probably where rock and roll began, when David used the rock and rolled, old Goliath. I tell you, I imagine he got emotional. I find most of the people that claim this anti-emotional movement, you know why they don't get emotional? They never win souls. They never see anybody born again. Brother, every time I lead somebody to Jesus, I feel like I'm getting saved all over again. And the people say, well, they all last. No, they don't, but some of them do. That's the thing that counts. Judas didn't make it, but the other 11 did. Don't get caught up on those that don't. Look at those that are. You know, you meet so many people. People say, well, we got liberals in our seminary. Well, that's all right. That's a good spot for them. We got some good ones, too. We got some conservative ones. We got some that believe. You know, nowadays, it's amazing how we think everybody ought to look just like us, walk just like us, talk just like us. That's the reason I'm glad there are different type of folks that make up the body of Christ. We can't all be arms and legs, so don't get excited when you meet a few heels and some other parts. It takes all these. And it takes some other parts that I'm not at liberty to mention. But it's amazing. It's amazing how we get so excited about this and that and the other. Well, let me tell you something. When I read the book about people getting excited, you know, you're still thinking, aren't you? Bless your heart. But you know, here's the thing. When I got saved after about a year, I was with Eddie Martin for a while, did advanced work with that fine man, and then I came to New Orleans to go to seminary. Folks said, I need to go to seminary. And they said, they're going to cool you off. I said, no, they didn't. They helped me. They stirred me up. People say, well, they dampened my spirits. You probably didn't have much when you went. It's amazing how folks are usually knocking this school. Look, the school's as good as we are as when we go in. Let's help them. Let's don't sit back and knock. Let's hop in and go. That's the thing. Anybody can pout, but brother, you have to be close to God to shout and to stay right with the Lord. Because when you shout, if there's a lot of cannons in this auditorium tonight, but we'd rather be pop guns, because nobody here is a pop gun. When a cannon goes off, bless God, you'll be heard, and it has a little recoil to it. It might stir up a little bit, but brother, everybody in the book that did something for God, they got emotional about it, and I'm so emotional about it, I can hardly stand it. It's wonderful. Now, I've only been saved 3,560 days, and on that night, April the 15th, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I fell in love not with the Lord, but with His program. I fell in love with His church. Now, these people that you have to beg to come to church, I believe we ought to pray for them and get saved, or go out and try to win them to the Lord. I'm talking about deacons and everybody else. If they'd rather pout than to move in and shout for the Lord, there's something wrong with them. Something wrong? Man, I tried to join the WMU when I got in the church. I didn't know. I was too old for the sunbeams, but I learned I'm a sunbeam. I learned to sing that. I didn't qualify for WMU, but I got in the brotherhood, and I got into everything else I could get into the program of the church. When I committed myself to Christ, I committed myself to His church, and every time that door is open, bless God, I'm going to be there. My family's going to be there, and I thank the Lord for a faithful wife and children that are also following the Lord Jesus Christ. And my daughter, Rhonda, she's Queen Regent in service in the GAs, and little old Mitzi, she's a queen in the GAs, and sorry about the RAs, but I don't have any boys, bless God, but I have some girls, and they're serving Jesus, and at Glorietta last summer, my older daughter Rhonda surrendered her life to serve the Lord. Now, we Baptists don't let them preach, but she'll come as near to it as any girl you'll ever meet. But you know, this thing about being saved and knowing the Lord and serving the Lord, it's fantastic, it's exciting, it's amazing, and I tell you, it's contagious. So when I went to seminary in New Orleans, man, I needed to go. I didn't even know how to read the book. I wonder how some of those judges in the Old Testament ever got elected. I'd come to some of those words, and I didn't even know how to pronounce them. And the ones I didn't, I just mumble on through them. Because, see, I don't know all of it's in there, but the part I do know keeps me so busy, I don't worry about the part I don't understand. And that's the thing. Like a lady the other night, she said, I can't understand Revelation. I said, get back in Matthew. Get back in Matthew. It'll tear you up. Look over here. Boy, this is a powerful book. Powerful. Powerful. When I went down to seminary, I became assistant pastor to Dr. Gray. I walked in his office. I didn't know Dr. Gray. And when you don't know Dr. Gray, you don't know how you're supposed to treat Dr. Gray, see? And oh, Lord, I thank God I didn't know him until I walked in. If I'd known him, I'd been scared of him, see? So when I walked in, he got so excited. He said, when you come to school? I said, I'm going to start next week. He said, why don't you be my assistant? I said, be your what? He said, you're my assistant. I said, would you put that on paper? My wife won't believe that. My family won't believe that. Would you write it? Because the preachers back up my hometown won't believe that, because I've been tagged as a nut. I've been tagged as a fanatic. See, I didn't know about all this ministerial ethics. I didn't know you're supposed to get permission from the clergyman to preach. And I put up 10 everywhere I had a vacant lot. I'd go in a drive-in theater and still do. I pay not much heed to all this ethics. There's more people going to hell because we're ethical than are getting saved because we're ethical. So I might be unethical, but it's working. It's working. And that's what counts, brother. And I find all these that major on the ethics have gotten away from Jesus. Gotten away from Jesus. So I went with Dr. Gray for a year. One day, Dr. Edelman in the seminary challenged us that wherever it's a pocket of sin, it's a mission field, nearest Christian to it's a missionary. And I didn't qualify for the foreign missions with Dr. Cawthon and that group because of my age and the fact I was 30 when I got saved and I wasn't too smart in school and everything. And so I just didn't, so I couldn't think of a bigger pocket anywhere than Bourbon Street. And the Bible said when you follow the Lord, you become fishers of men. And that's the biggest fish hole I found this side of hell. And I just went down, opened up. I put an office right between the Blue Angel Saloon, across the street from Hotsitas and Show Bar. In fact, I never run out of prospects down there. I got them. I don't even have to take a census. I've got them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People say, well, that's kind of a rare place for a preacher. No, check your book and see where he went. Check your book. I got a letter from a group of ladies. I use the word ladies because I'm saved, but it was an awful, it was awful letter. And they said, we believe you're guilty of casting pearls before swine. So I wrote them back, dear ladies, question mark. I said, I appreciate your letter and appreciate your concern, but I believe this letter's from a group of bigger hogs than I ever met on Bourbon Street. And I said, I do appreciate your prayer, because I need the prayer, and from the sound of your letter, you need to practice. And that way we'll both get blessed. Man, nobody in the Bible got saved in a church. It got saved when somebody took them to Jesus or somebody led them to the Lord. And we've got this thing so misplaced and segregated nowadays that we feel like if you want to get saved, it has to be from 9:30 to 12 on Sunday morning. Or maybe some hours will open up on Sunday evening. Or maybe you can slip into one of our little Vespa before Ed Sullivan services on Sunday evening. Or you might tip your toe down on Wednesday night, but we're not going to give an invitation. We'll just throw some slides on you. And this seems to be the picture. Let me tell you something, brother. God says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And as long as I've got a breath, I'm going to preach it to every creature. If it's my neighbor, if it's a pope, and by the way, I'm going over there pretty soon. I hope I have an audience with him. I just like to... And I tell you, somewhere else I'm going in the next few weeks. I just got back from Paris, France, and they don't go for us too much over there now. They don't go for American, nor a Christian witness too heavy, but that's all right. They don't go too much in our churches for good, strong. I'm going to Washington real soon. Go be with your Texan president up there. I love Mr. Johnson. I pray for Mr. Johnson every day. Every day. You just don't know how I pray for him. And every time I see Humphrey on TV, I pray more for him. Lord help him. Lord help him. I tell you, we need to get concerned. You know, this thing about being a Christian. All right, open up Old Bourbon Street. I stayed there a little while. I'm still there. The mayor proclaimed me chaplain of Bourbon Street. That's opened up more doors. You've got to have an idea to get into these places nowadays. If I shut the door to a Baptist preacher, well, become the chaplain of a reform school or something. Become the chaplain of the Unwed Mother Society. Become something. Become something that's exciting for the public, and they'll let you in. And when they let you in, preach, because they don't know any difference. Then preach. People say, well, they won't let me preach in the business. Yes, they will. If you've got a business where you can't preach, check and see if you're in the right business. But everywhere I go, I enjoy witnessing. Art Linkletter's house party. Some of you fine ladies said you saw us on it. We've been on that 2 times and checked old Linkletter out, and he said he's saved and knows the Lord. And I led his writer to Jesus named Walter Wagner. While he was interviewing me, he was in such bad shape, I said, quit talking about me and let me tell you about the Lord. And I didn't know he was a Jew and cared less. They get saved just like Baptists. And so I just went ahead and took my Bible and led that Jew to Jesus. And he went out and told Mr. Linkletter, and he said, you need a book on your life. I said, well, write it. So I went on a period on the program. When I got back, he'd contact Doubleday Publishing House, and his book will be out next June on the chapter of Bourbon Street. And understand, a year or so later, Warner Brothers is going to do a film, and my lawyer is requiring that I get to play my own part in the film. Amen? I don't want some Hollywood guy with 3 or 4 wives to play the part of the preacher. I want to be in there myself. But you know, it's amazing. I find out the bigger people are, the easier they are to talk to about the Lord. The more successful a man is, the easier they are to witness to about Jesus Christ. And as I think about giving a testimony about my being saved and my calling to preach and some of the things that have happened since then, everywhere I go, I try to warn the people. Civic clubs, I even give invitations in Rotary clubs. People say, well, you're not supposed to. Whoever told you not to? Because usually somebody introducing you doesn't know you're not supposed to. People, they get excited if we get excited. We can challenge them if we're challenged. I tell you, sometimes I have to ask the Lord to turn me loose so I can go to sleep. I get so caught up sometimes. I tell you, it's amazing, this space age we're living in. Everybody getting excited about the Gemini twins bumping noses for a few minutes. Man, I'm going to spend 6-7 years in space, and it won't be anybody out here at Houston. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Because, brother, when the rapture takes place, old Bob's going to be among God's saints when they go marching in. You know, that's it, boy. You know, it's I wondered where you'd been. Oh, Lord. But you know, I spend a lot of my time warning people about being saved, encouraging them about the Lord, asking them not to go to hell. I told a man the other day, he sat there looking at me, inebriate, and he was kind of an extinguished-looking businessman. He drank martinis. He didn't drink booze. He went to country clubs, and he'd go to honky-tonks. Of course, the only difference is Airwick. And he was a big dog. He wasn't a little dog. And I said to him, I said, sir, we want you to come to church. He didn't believe in this, but he believed he was going to heaven. I said, no, sir, I don't think you are. I said, if you don't enjoy the things of God down here, you couldn't enjoy being in heaven. I said, man, you'd be as out of place in heaven as a piano at a Church of Christ convention. I said, man, you'd be as out of place in heaven as an Arab in Israel. I said, there'd have to be a hell. He said, why? I said, because a man like you can't go to heaven till you have a new nature. You want to have a new heavenly nature. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I warn people about heaven, encourage people about heaven, excite people about being saved. And a lot of people do get saved. But you know, when I think about a close of something that I can leave with you, I hope and pray you Baptist preachers, when you get back home, start a Sunday morning procedure of letting your deacons testify from the pulpit. Give a 2 or 3 minute testimony. Let some of those young people that the old folks are sitting back calling delinquents, let them hear some of those deacons stand up and testify. Let them stand up and tell how they met Jesus. Call on your WMU president to testify. Call on these little byproduct branches we have. Let them come up and give a word of testimony. I never heard a testimony till after I was saved, and I've never quit giving mine since I've been saved. So everywhere, then preachers say, well, our congregation's heard my testimony. Let them hear it again. Amazing grace sounded good while ago, and I've heard it a million times, but it thrills my soul. Don't worry about keeping such a record that you might repeat yourself. Repeat it. Repeat it every Sunday till you get your church on fire for God. Brother, the Southern Baptist Convention have the machinery, the manpower, and the know-how to shake America for God. But we're not going to shake America until we get back to testifying about Jesus Christ. I was coming back late one night, back to New Orleans. I was preaching a revival. I was a student at the seminary. I was Dr. Gray's assistant pastor. I had an operation going on Bourbon Street, and I made unsatisfactory at the seminary on mission assignments. But I tell you, I thought I'd just plant that there. But you know, I was riding back late one night. I was coming across that Lake Pontchartrain Bridge. How many of you have been across that long bridge? 23 miles. Got a little reflector lights all on the bridge. You keep looking at those little lights, and they reflect from your headlights, and they have a hypnotic power type. And as I was riding along, my body was tired. Been preaching all day, all night. Had to go back to class the next morning, and I was trying to listen to my radio and had an air conditioner on. Got about the middle of the bridge. I saw a figure in the bridge. Right in the middle of the bridge, I saw the body of somebody standing up. And you know, you can get strange thoughts along about midnight, especially when New Orleans on one side of the bridge and Mandeville, the state insane hospital, is on the other side of the bridge. And you get to thinking maybe somebody escaped, some inmate, some patient escaped and came by boat out to the middle of the bridge and climbed up on it, going to stop a car and knock the driver in the head and throw you in the lake and take your car. Man, I'd seen so many late shows, I believed everything. Everything. And I got to go, and I got a little closer to him, and I noticed his shirt had been ripped off his body. I said, this man's crazy. This man doesn't have clothes, nothing. He's just a Gadarene maniac. And I just didn't feel too Samaritan-type impressed that night. And long about midnight, scared half to death. People say, I thought you was big, tough, brave. I am. But I get scared sometimes. And that was the time I was scared. And I said, I'm going to miss him. I'm going to go by him and let somebody else serve the Good Samaritan part tonight. I said, I've helped enough people for today. The Lord won't hold this against me. So I got a little closer and I'd move over to one lane. He'd jump on that lane. I'd move back. He'd jump in that lane. And I drove my window down, turned off my air conditioner and radio so I could hear. And this man was screaming, "Stop, stop." He was screaming. Now, you're talking about emotional. This man was emotional. He was waving his shirt over his head. And the closer I got to him, my headlights, I put them on bright. And they went right to his eyes. And I saw the look, wild. Wild. I said, this man's on drugs. This man's hung on something. This man's going to kill me. I said, I'm going to hit the gas and go on by him. When I pulled over to go into the next lane, he jumped in front of me. And he screamed, "Stop, stop, stop." And I opened my car door. I jumped out and went over and grabbed this fellow by the shoulders. I started trying to shake him. His body was wringing wet with perspiration. I shook him. He kept screaming. He kept screaming. I said, "Look, I've stopped. I've stopped. What do you want, man? I've stopped." I kept shaking him. And over in the corner, I saw another man come up on me. And this man came over and said, "Thank him. Thank him. Thank him." Because a tugboat just broke loose and knocked a span out of the bridge. And there's a Greyhound bus in the lake and six are dead in it. We climbed up to stop you. I hugged him. I hugged that man. I hugged this other man. And I pulled off my coat and I started running down the bridge with him. And until the highway patrol came and took control, I spent the rest of that night stopping people, stopping people. And when I got home, I said to my wife, "Thank God. That man had compassion, he had concern, and thank God he wasn't a liberal and he wasn't a doubter and he wasn't a non-emotionalist," and he screamed to the top of his breath and I heard him and I stopped and I'm home tonight because that man cared. And I said, "Honey, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He saw us on the bridge. We was going to hell. And he came out of heaven and he got on the bridge. And he's been yelling, 'Stop, stop,' through the voice of the Holy Spirit and through the voice of his preachers. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what God called us to do. And if we're not warning people, we're not carrying out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I challenge you to go back to your church, go back to your business, go back to your home, and warn the lost people to stop, 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 or they perish without Jesus. Thank you so much.